Well, let's look at God's Word, if you will join me in that. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 5 through 13, and we do have some other verses here in Matthew 6 we're going to consider briefly today, but this scripture reading moves us into today's message and our focus primarily on the Lord's Prayer. As we consider these topics of the King's agenda, and of course prayer is one thing that King Jesus really wants us to be doing, and today we're going to consider that from Matthew 6. Let's begin at verse 5. Jesus said to his disciples, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." How would you define prayer? Some might say prayer is asking God for what you need. And there is truth in that, but today's text here, Jesus says there's something on the agenda before that. And that's what we're going to consider today. That which is on the agenda before asking God for what we need is praying first for and seeking what God wants. That's what our King tells us here. Jesus gives us, his followers, teaching on prayer, and each of us who believe in Jesus and all of us together as a community of believers in Jesus need to hear what he says. He says to pray first for seeking what God wants. In all of the things that could be on our to-do list, let's say, have you ever had the problem when you got 25 things in your to-do list, like number 14, you never get done? Anybody besides me have that problem? So what we got to make sure we do is not sort of view kind of God and the things of God like that in prayer. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, you, yeah, I got all this stuff, Lord. But rather we need to say the top of the list is what does God want? Now, as we move into this, we're just going to kind of set this up. Prayer is seeking God and God's will. A simple understanding of prayer. Certainly the King's agenda for us is that we would be those people who are seeking God and God's will. And prayer is one of those ways we express that. Matthew 6 is a part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's an extended teaching by Jesus. And interestingly, the word pray is here six times, and related practices of the life of a believer another six or more times. And all of these are connected with your relationship with your Father. These words are words for believers in Jesus. And your Father and our Father are used in Matthew 6 a total of 11 times, which tells us, yeah, this is really about the relationship of the believer with their Father. Any of you do any family gatherings recently? Yeah, of course, right? Was the whole family there? Who's in your family? Well, God's got a family. This is putting it simple, but I think we need simple. God's got a family, and not everybody is in God's family. That's the reality. God created everybody, but to be in God's family in the way that the Bible speaks of it, in the way it's being spoken of here, of God as Father, is you can only rightly be in God's family through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King and Savior. And when Jesus is speaking these words, he's speaking these words in that context. And yes, those early disciples didn't understand the fullness of what we understand because they were sort of in progress of receiving this revelation with Jesus, but they had that relationship, and Jesus then speaks of your Father in that way. You can only rightly call God Father if you receive Jesus personally. God makes you his and his family in Jesus, who died for you and made the way for you to know God now and forever. So my encouragement for everyone here today is say, okay, am I in God's family? And if you're not, take that step of personal faith in Jesus, receive this free gift, and then these words are spoken to you. Because Jesus spoke these words to his followers who build their lives upon his words. Incidentally, that song, I build my life on the foundation, he's the rock upon which I stand, that image comes out of the very next chapter in Matthew. It's a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them is like a man, a wise man, who builds his house on the rock. And the winds come and the rains come, and that house on the rock stands. Why? Because it's built on the rock. Now, when your life is built on the Lord Jesus, your life is built on the rock, and you are in God's family. This Jesus speaks here is giving us instruction on prayer for the family. And we can also say these words, the exact words of this prayer, with meaning. Why do I say with meaning? Because if we say them meaninglessly, we're doing the very thing Jesus prohibits. But if we say them with meaning, of course, this is a wonderful thing for us to say. Many of us, sometime in our life, probably learned this prayer, maybe even said this prayer in church. And just so you know, we believe in saying this prayer. I'd like us to pray this prayer together. Right now, with meaning, can we pray these words? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some of us were like, hey, and yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That those words were likely not in the original. They're taken, I believe, from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, where some well-meaning Christian somewhere in the early centuries decided this prayer didn't have a proper ending, so therefore inserted that, which are also biblical words, but not in the original instruction of Jesus as it relates to this prayer. So let's talk about prayer, which is seeking God and God's will first. And this, I framed these statements around things not to do. Don't draw attention to yourself in prayer. Draw near to our Father through prayer. Don't let your prayers be consumed with your agendas. Seek the agenda of the Lord. Don't be anxious over life's cares. Make seeking God's rule your life priority. You may say, Pastor Bruce, why do you begin with a negative every single one of these? And I would give two answers. First is that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, has a lot of nots. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. A lot of what not to do as he delivers the core of what to do. This expression of personal trust in God, seeking God and God's will first. And the second thing is this. If you're like me, the way that you sort of initiate new things better is to avoid the bad things that you don't want to do. Example, right? If anybody's saying, hey, I'm going to eat better in 2026, what you need to do is not just say, I'm going to eat better. You got to say, what are the things you're not going to eat, right? So kind of attacking the not helps us to embrace the good and what we need to pursue. And that's why I frame these this way, in addition to the fact that Jesus puts a lot of emphasis here on what not to do. And so don't draw attention to yourself. Don't let your prayers be consumed with your agendas. Don't be anxious over life cares. Let's consider each of these today as we unpack and apply this principle of seeking God and God's will in our prayer. I hope every one of us is saying, okay, this is my personal prayer life. Maybe some things that can encourage and direct me in that, and how I pray and how I fight the tendencies to not pray. And also for us together as a community of believers, what we need to be focusing on so that we are a fellowship that is a praying congregation. Let's look at this first one. Don't draw attention to yourself in prayer. Draw near to your Father through prayer. Now, today in our context, in most situations, people are not going around bragging about how wonderful they pray. I understand that. But maybe in the church, maybe in certain situations, somewhere, sometime, there might be that tendency. Surely this was a big problem in Jesus' day. And a lot of what he was countering was the sort of the public expressions of trying to appear very spiritual and wonderfully committed to God in prayer, not for the reality of it, but for the show of what others would think of you through this. And so Jesus is giving in the context here, when you pray this focus on God. And he's talking about prayer, he's talking about giving, he's talking about fasting, these other expressions of the life of piety for a believer. And he's saying, make it about drawing near to your Father through prayer. Don't make it about trying to be impressing others with how wonderful your prayer life is. He's not prohibiting public prayer, but he is exposing bad motives in prayer. And I would say that if the majority of your prayer is only happening in public, you're not really catching what prayer is, right? Prayer is personal and individual. And then from the overflow of that, of course, public prayer is part of the life of believers throughout Scripture. And verse 9 has this dramatic shift to the personal. But when you pray, pray like this, our Father. So drawing near to him in relationship and fellowship, the privilege we have as his children through Jesus to come to God, seeking God and God's will. Let's look next at, don't let your prayers be consumed with your agendas. And we all have a lot of things that we want, life goals, things we would prefer that we have, things that we've got that we want to do, we hope others will do, right? And those things are not necessarily wrong, but if we become consumed with those things and prayer is only about those things, we're missing what prayer is first, which is seeking God and God's will. And Jesus, as he moves into this model prayer in verses 9 through 13, for us as a community of believers, he's really focusing heavily on seeking the agendas of the Lord, seeking God's agenda, the honor of his name, the advance of his kingdom, and that kingdom advancing, I think, mainly through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and people receiving Jesus Christ, because when people receive Jesus as Savior and King, that puts him on the throne of their hearts and lives, and that's the way God's work and will advances. And then you pray for your needs. Pray then like this, Jesus said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Notice that. And the hallowed, that's kind of an interesting word. We don't typically use that today, and it's probably here in a lot of the more modern translations because it's so familiar from translations that used that word back when it probably was more commonly used. But it means to be kept holy. To acknowledge and keep God's name as holy. And God's name represents who he is. So essentially what it is the right response to God, the worshipful, honoring response to the person of God. We're praying for more and more people to honor and worship God for who he really is. And of course, that would be hypocritical if we were praying that and we weren't doing that. So we enter into that and we pray for more and more people to see and understand the greatness of God and to worship him rightly. And of course, the kingdom of God come in the work of Jesus Christ is how people do that, how they actually come to honor and worship the name of God for who he is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we're praying for God's kingdom to come, well, Jesus has come. He's standing in front of them, teaching them. And he went to the cross, yes. But the fullness of his kingdom does not come until he comes again. So what we're praying for is for more and more people to come into a relationship with Jesus where they know him and honor him as their own king. That's the kingdom coming. And that, so with, Lord, help me. As the song said, you know, use my life. Lead me in your love to those around me so that they too may know you. That's the spreading of the kingdom of Jesus. We're praying in alignment with that. And if you can imagine heaven and the will of God being done on heaven, well, that's perfectly, right? Everyone all the time perfectly delights in doing all that God delights in. There's never any expression of rebellion against God in heaven. And of course, we're praying that God's will would be done on earth. We know that there's a lot of rebellion against God, but we're praying that more and more people know Jesus, embrace him, so that the spreading of this doing of God's will would be happening actually on this earth like it is in heaven. And again, that's through gospel proclamation. That's through growth in our lives, through the word, by the work of the Spirit. But we're praying that way. We're not just saying, God, here's my list. We're praying, seeking God and the will of God. Prayer is that. Now, here's another thing. Besides all these different agendas that we may have in our life, we have anxieties in our life. Anybody got some, right? There's things that concern us, like, how am I going to get through this? What about that? There's that. I don't know that, right? And God is not just saying, hey, forget it, stop all this stuff. He's giving us a way to bring those to him, to center our trust in him so that we can make seeking God's kingdom our life priority. And prayer is secondarily that, as he invites us in verses 11 through 13 to bring God our needs. All of our physical needs, when we speak of daily bread, that's what it is. So everything you need. It may not be bread, but you need other stuff too, right? And then our needs for forgiveness. There's disruptions in our fellowship with God that we need daily cleansing from that when we sin. There's disruptions in our relationship with others. We need to extend a forgiveness and receive forgiveness horizontally. This prayer accounts for that as well. And then there's a fight against evil. We all know this. There are real temptations, real pitfalls, real things that are evil, real realities of the evil one. And we're in a battle. And this prayer envisions that as well as we are invited to bring all those needs to the Lord. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. We said this together and we've read it. But our seeking of God might be hindered by anxiety about these kinds of things, by sin, and by the battles that we face. So we pray about these. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We're a forgiving people and we receive ongoing cleansing as forgiven people. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're asking God to help us to stand against these things. And bringing God those realities, not being overwhelmed by the cares of life, but seeking God's kingdom as our priority as we surrender those cares to him. And this chapter ends with a wonderful verse about trusting God for your needs and seeking God's rule. We're jumping from verse 13 now to verse 33, and there's some other great verses between there, but this is a great one to put into your memory bank, and I want us to just consider how much this verse, where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, how much this verse reflects the Lord's Prayer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, That's part A of the prayer. And all these things will be added unto you. That's part B of the prayer. What you need, God will provide when you seek him first. That first there is implied in the prayer, and now it's made explicit by Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33. And in the verses that lead up to this, Jesus is speaking about the realities of life, that what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, all the things that you need. And he's saying, okay, make your focus God and the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That word righteousness, I think we need to define that. I don't think Jesus is talking about here the righteousness of the gift righteousness we receive by receiving Jesus, that imputed righteousness he gives to us, but rather this is the growth righteousness, the righteous character that's reflected in the life of a believer as we seek God first and continue to grow in him. It's basically saying, be about the agenda of God in his work in the world through the gospel and his work in your life through the gospel, and then everything else God's going to take care of. That's the focus. Four ways that Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom, is about prayer. Just, I find this striking. Seeking the kingdom is in the prayer, and seeking the kingdom is what is prayed for. Seeking the kingdom, rather, is in 6:33 and is what is prayed for in the prayer. A life needs is in Matthew 6:33, and life needs are what are prayed for, our daily bread. God's righteousness is about believers' godly lives, 6:33, I've said that, and that includes a life of prayer, this practice of prayer, the daily response of going to our Father. And the Father, knowing all of our needs, is the lead up to Matthew 6:33, and all these needs that he knows are a part of the prayer that he gives us as well. I hope as you're hearing these words, something in you is saying, okay, my own prayer life, my commitments to prayer, my things that are consuming my prayers are being shaped by this. Lord, I need to think this way. I need to, with your help, work on this. I need to not make prayer primarily about being consumed by my agendas, but make it a being in pursuit of you and your agendas. One word in the prayer, the model prayer of Jesus, that may be overlooked is the word our. This prayer is not individual. Notice that. Our Father out in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, give us this day our daily, again, plural, and forgive us and lead us, right? This is a together prayer. That's notable, right? Yes, these words we can pray individually, but it's picturing us in this family of believers together with others in the family of believers, praying for the work of God and the will of God as a family of believers, and lifting up our needs and concerns to the Lord together as a family of believers. So I just want to put for you in front of you some Trinity prayer, family of believer opportunities right now. Some of the our and us prayer focus. And one is the 21 days of prayer. I hope you can grab the book or get this scan, the QR code, and use these daily devotionals. And think of it not just as my prayer time, but I'm together with Trinity in our prayer, praying for the King's agenda. And pray then, thinking collectively of God's work here, right? The Lord's work at Trinity in 2026. We got a great opportunity before us. Pray for TCC kids and for more workers there and hearts to be transformed there. Pray for Inside Out and for God to work mightily in the lives of our students. Pray for the winter small groups, that people will be in those groups, connecting and growing. Whatever else God lays upon your heart for what's happening at Trinity, pray together for those things. And there's a specific role that you have in this ministry that we have. Do you realize, even in this room today, if every single one of us ministered to 3 to 5 people, how much ministry would be happening every single week? So I want to encourage you as a part of the Trinity team to be praying for 3 to 5 people you know. Pray for them, especially during this season, that you know need Jesus. And for most of us, that's not hard to come up with, right? There's all kinds of people need to know Jesus. But can you pray for 3 to 5? Pray consistently for them. And then watch how God works. I'm telling you, we're going to be hearing stories by the end of the month if we're all doing this, praying for people we know who need Jesus. And I want to encourage us again on this worship and prayer night on January 18th. Yes, in one sense, every single Sunday we gather is a time for worship and prayer. But this is kind of a special focus on prayer and worship. And I hope you see this. Hey, this is an opportunity for me to basically do what Jesus is saying, is come together as God's people, seeking God and the will of God for Trinity and the mission of Trinity in this year ahead. It's a wonderful privilege to conclude our time of worship today in the Lord's Supper. And this is a sacred remembrance that Jesus, the Messiah and King, went to the cross and gave himself for us as the perfect sacrifice for sin. I don't know if you remember when Peter finally nailed it, when Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know what Jesus said next? It says in Matthew chapter 16, from that time he began to teach them that the Son of Man would go to Jerusalem, would suffer, would be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Once they understood his kingship, they needed to understand that this king was a king who came to die as the perfect sacrifice for sin and rise from the dead. And Jesus instituted this sacred remembrance, the Lord's Supper, for believers to remember that, to remember all that happened when he gave himself on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven and we might be in the forever family of God on mission here in this world, praying for more and more people to embrace him as king. So if you have personal faith in Jesus, we invite you to partake, to receive the bread and the cup with us. I see some are going to get their communion elements. That's wonderful. And the other piece of the Lord's Supper in the Bible is the time of personal examination. Can we make this that for us? Kind of holding our lives alongside the Lord's Prayer and seeking to make 2026 for us about the King's agenda. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you for your words of instruction to us about prayer. This wonderful opportunity for us to communicate directly with our Father, and intimately, Lord, seeking him, worshiping him, aligning our lives with his agenda, and praying for more and more people to do so, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the privilege of coming to you with our needs, Lord, our daily needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs, needs for forgiveness, Lord, because you know we do stumble, God. Needs for receiving and extending forgiveness to others as you have extended forgiveness to us. God, we pray for, even as we examine ourselves, Lord, there might not be any grudges, any bitterness, any unkept agendas, Lord, of ill will, God, but that you would bring a fresh cleansing and that we would release those things to you. God, we know the reality of the battle we face, and we thank you that we can come to you in that battle, God. Deliver us from the evil one and from evil. Help us to walk with your grace and power in the path you have for us, Lord, that each of us will be growing in you as your children, much and dearly loved. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this time to remember your sacrifice on the cross, which made all this possible for us to be forgiven now and forever, to be in your family now and forever, to have all the promises of your eternal life, Lord, and the blessings of a life here that is built upon the rock. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you that you went to the cross for us. Amen.